Well, hello everyone, and welcome to this month's ROI radio call. I'm so excited to welcome our guest for today, Frank Felker. But before I do, just a couple of reminders. Make sure you're using our membership site, and to access it, go to iocreativegroup.com/members. And make sure you're visiting us on Facebook and our private user group. Use this group to post any questions about today's call or anything else you're finding on your social media. I hop in there daily to answer your questions. And you can find that at facebook.com/groups/marketinginsidersElite. Now I'm Kim Walsh Phillips, an honor to lead the group and an honor to have Frank as my guest today. Frank Felker shows business owners how to generate a never-ending stream of new clients while simultaneously increasing their prices through authority positioning. While some have said he creates business celebrity, Frank prefers the tagline of his company, Digital Market Media Positioning, transforming success into authority. We love that. Frank is a best-selling author, international business educator, magazine columnist, and radio personality who is presented at the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts, as well as the headquarters and boardrooms of Texas Instruments, America Online, Warburg Pincus, the Gartner Group, Heidenberg, New York America, Draper Atlantic, Xerox, Friedman, Billings, and Ramsey. As an entrepreneurial educator, Frank has presented live seminars to thousands of business executives, salespeople, and business owners across the country. The conference is produced by groups like International Center for Entrepreneurial Development, Explore International, the Graphic Arts Technical Foundation, and the National Investment Bankers Association, and is now reaching an audience as one of the top business teachers on the Udemy. You'll correct me if I'm wrong on that one, the world's largest online learning platform. Frank and I had the privilege of meeting through a volunteer effort we both were involved in called Semper Startup, where we helped match returning veterans with mentors and heard through a Shark Tank of different veteran tech entrepreneurs who are launching companies. It was a really cool event to be part of, and Frank helped lead the effort on that. So Frank, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim. I really appreciate it. It's great to talk to you again. We had a lot of fun at Semper Startup, and now here we are having fun again.
Yeah, except for the very end. Poor Frank got to see me locked out of a parking garage.
I forgot about that.
That's how I ended. This long day was like 9:30 at night at the college outside on Washington City streets. But it all worked out fine, so that's good.
Yeah, apparently, I have to then tell the story on you, though, then, Kim. So I'm walking down the street in Northwest Washington, D.C., and it's been a very long day. We had this event. I'm pretty tired. And what do I see but Kim standing next to the closed garage door of a parking garage. And you'll just have to fill in the blanks for yourself, but I could have imagined her there with smoking a cigarette with one hand and her hand on her hip with her other hand. It was that kind of a street corner in that time of night. But I was like, Kim, what are you doing here?
Yeah, and the night ended by me discovering that this happens at least 2-3 times a night, having to go far away, and I hitchhiked back with somebody I happened to randomly see that I saw from the event earlier that evening. So it was a good night. But anyway, moving on. Frank, how did you first get involved in authority positioning as the focus of your career? I'm really interested to hear how you got involved in that.
Well, it's interesting. I actually did use these same techniques on myself back in the 1990s. Didn't know it was called authority positioning. But what I wanted to do, I was in the printing industry, and the printing industry at that time was going through a big transition due to the impact of digital printing technology, desktop publishing and PostScript and a whole bunch of other technical stuff. And all at once I found myself very interested in online. Actually transacted business online before the advent of the internet in the printing industry, and got involved in a lot of things where I suddenly found myself as one of the leading authorities on digital printing technology from a marketing and implementation standpoint. And so I began presenting at seminars, and I had a magazine column in the Leading Trade magazine, a monthly column for 3 years. And I published my own newsletter on the topic for 3 years, and did a lot of consulting to some large companies that were in that space. And in any event, fast forward 15 or 20 years, And I became aware of this new initiative called authority positioning and authority marketing. And when I realized what it was, I knew that I had done all these things, including live radio broadcasts and self-publishing my own books and being an educator and so forth. And so when I recognized what this was and knew from my own experience the incredible impact that it can have on your business and your career, I realized this is something I could help a lot of people really ratchet up their income and their even their enjoyment of their business by helping them do what I had done for myself in the past, positioning themselves as recognized authorities. And it's a very powerful thing. I know you talk a lot about branding, and what you're really doing here is you're branding. You're not branding yourself. That would be first party marketing or first party branding. This is more third party, where third parties position you as the expert, but it all starts with you positioning yourself as an educator and advocate for the success of your clients.
Sure. So what if we were to do that, if we're going to position ourselves as authorities in order to attract high quality prospects that are willing to pay us what we deserve to be paid, just top of market, and that we're not competing after RFP or RF, competing in many bidding wars. Instead, we're the
Right.
chosen authority. What are some of the steps we should take to make that happen?
Sure. There are a number of specific things that you can do. Let me just back up one step to try to frame it a little bit better, if I might,
Sure.
in terms of what you're trying to do.
Okay.
You do want people to perceive you as the clear choice, that there really isn't any choice in their mind. You are the one that they want to speak to. So it kind of takes all the bidding and all the pricing and all the features, functions, and benefits and all the normal noise of a sales cycle out of the conversation. I'm reading a book right now, Kim, that's called Influence. It's a fairly famous book in marketing, and it's by Dr. Robert Cialdini. And I just heard a story that I think is very apropos in the book, where a lady who had a jewelry shop in Santa Fe, New Mexico, small shop, had a group of turquoise jewelry that wasn't selling well. And so she decided to cut the price in half on it, and just clear it out and make room for whatever else she wanted to bring in. So she put a little sign next to it that said, "This price times one half," and left it for her sales clerk to mark down all the pieces. She was going out of town with her family for a long weekend. When she came back, all of the jewelry was gone, as she had anticipated it would be. But what she didn't realize was that the clerk had read her sign to mean all these prices times two. And what he had actually done was double all of the prices. And by implication, people assumed that this was so much more valuable jewelry and purchased. And so the point I'm driving at is that people associate price with value, and they are willing to pay for high value. In almost all cases, price is the stated objective, but it's not objection, but it's not the real reason why somebody's not buying. It's value. People have not seen the value in order to cause them to move ahead and buy. So what you're doing here is you're making it clear and obvious that there is value present in doing business with you. So back to your question, how do you do that?
Love that, and I love
And you
that
want
reasoning
to.
behind it. It's so important, and it's a step because so many of us are, trying to put out the fires that are happening today that we're not looking at those big picture things that we need to do. But if you want real change this year in 2015, then these are some of the things that you need to be looking at in order to really change your results overall.
Absolutely correct. I cannot tell you the impact that this strategy and these tactics have had on my own business. Of people just call you, and they don't ask me how much. They just say, "Can you help me?" And part of it is I don't always say yes. If I don't feel I can help someone, I don't try, because that would, of course, undercut the value if I weren't able to deliver. So there are one of my mentors is a guy named Brian Horn, and Brian recently published an article on Entrepreneur Magazine website, 7 Steps to Becoming a Recognized Authority. And I think these speak directly to your question. So the first step is to become an educator and an advocate for your clients. And what that means is a lot, you do this all the time, Kim, give free information, be supportive, really, truly, sincerely be focused on the success of your prospects, of your clients, of your target market, and position yourself as an educator. Many people feel, well, I don't know enough to be an educator. How can I? I'm not an expert. To which a great response is, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. You know enough to be of help, and if you sincerely are willing to help other people, there are always going to be people who will know less than you, and there will always be people who know more than you. It's not a question of how much you know, it's how much you're willing to help people. So the first step is become an advocate and educator for your customers. The next is to micro-specialize as much as you can. If you try to be all things to all people, you, of course, will be nothing to anyone. So you want to find a niche in which you can bring a very high level of value. And one thing that I've spoken about for years is that if you find that niche where you can bring an exceptional level of value, you can immediately charge an exceptionally high price because it's in alignment with the value that you bring. So micro-specialization is very important.
Yeah, and that's why it makes me cringe whenever I see the term full service in any description of any agency, whether that's a law firm, printing company, marketing company. I think, they are not getting paid top dollar because they are not specializing in one specific expertise area or niche in the market.
Yes, and I could go on and on and on about that topic, how important it is. I have a class, by the way, it's pronounced Udemy, U-D-E-M-Y.
Oh, right, okay, great.
It's the world's largest online learning platform, but I agree with you, that's a terrible name, and it's a terrible brand, but in spite of that, they've become the world's largest online learning platform. But I have a course on Udemy that's called How to Build a Customer Factory, and in there, one of the lectures is about target marketing and getting very specific about who you're going to serve. You mentioned the printing business. When I was writing my newsletter for the printing industry, manufacturers would send me devices to review. At one time, I reviewed this device that could literally print anything. It could print something as small as a business card, or by using tiles, it could print a billboard the size of the wall on the side of a building. This thing could print anything. Well, that sounds great from a technical standpoint, but from a marketing standpoint, it wasn't worth a darn. As I wrote in my newsletter, I can see the ad now for the printing company that buys this machine. We can now print anything. So if you need anything, give us a call.
Right.
People don't need anything. They have a very specific problem that you can solve for them that you need to speak to. So specialization is very important. The next thing is to write articles for news sites and professional publications. I was able to land a monthly column in the largest publication in my trade, in the printing trade, but pretty much just by asking. I asked the guy, the editor, I don't see any article, I don't see any column in your magazine about digital printing technology. Would you like to have one? And the guy's like, well, I don't know. He says, can you write? I said, well, I think so. He says, well, send me a writing sample. And long story short, I wrote 2,000 words a month for 3 years for that magazine.
Wow, okay.
Most people don't realize that it's even more true today in the digital world that publications need content. And they're always looking for new content and a new angle and a new personality. This is something that you can do, even if all it is writing for your local patch.com. Edition, you can begin to write and position yourself as an educator. You can write a book, and today a book need be no more than a Kindle book, which can be 3,000 words or 5,000 words, written in the problem-solution format. Again, you start with a specific problem, a niche that you're focused on, and then solve that problem in that book. and suddenly you are a published author. And if you're lucky and you work with me and some people that I know, we can get you to be a best-selling published author who has a solution to this specific problem. Number five of the seven steps is to start public speaking. That kind of goes without saying how important that is and what it does to position you as an authority. Next is, imagine this, getting interviewed on radio shows and podcasts. And then the seventh thing is using what Brian calls trust triggers, which are things like, for example, after we finish this, I will publicize the fact that I was interviewed by Kim Walsh Phillips on ROI Radio. And this is that type of third-party validation and credibility that I'm talking about with all of this. And it, believe me, it works. And it's fun to watch it work. It begins to take on an energy and a momentum of its own. And it's just very exciting to watch it go.
So, and I, you know, I saw something so powerful here, and I hope those of you listening right now to this recording take note of that. This is really strategic, so it's not just about blogging just because you feel like you need to write or just seeking fame for fame's sake. This is about really changing the way that others see you in order to change your future outcomes. And I love the example, too, of the writing articles for news sites and professional publications. I want, if those of you listening, I want you to seek out one day to check out Clout, KLOUT.com, and look up the industry in which you're in and look at, or more importantly, even the place where your prospects hang out. What industry do they hang out in? And let's say you tend to focus on professional service firms. See who are some of the top media publications or blogs or websites in that industry and see if they have somebody writing. And even if they already have a columnist, just ask. I currently contribute to 16 newsletters per month. I have an article that I give out and they all run it. I write one article and they all run it for me each month. And that consistently brings us new prospects, new traffic, new members to our group. And it just comes from me repurposing one blog that I already wrote. And it just came because I asked to start, and now we get asked because it continues to grow. So these are the kinds of things you can do without adding a whole bunch of time onto your workload that you can have huge impacts. And Frank helping you with your book and getting it published and getting it to number one on the New York Times bestseller list, that's huge for positioning. Imagine being able to send your prospect a week before your prospect meeting a copy of your book with a sticker on it, with number one New York Times bestseller on it. Think about what that would do for your value to that person when you start to talk about budget. It's going to eliminate the budget question because now they know they have to work with this authority.
I would agree. A couple of quick things. One is I have been using that trick of sending people my book. It makes it an incredible substitute for a business card or a resume. People are totally floored. The second thing is I'm not quite up to the point where I can get you number one on New York Times, but I can definitely get you very high up on the Amazon bestseller list. So that's about as far as my superpowers extend at this point. But you're still a best-selling author. And,
yeah, it's great. It doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. Either or, it's going to work just fine.
Wanted to, if I could, because I think a lot of times people think, well, how could I? It sounds great, but how would I apply it in my industry? It doesn't really. Mm-hmm. I don't see it. So if I could just very quickly, I want to give a couple of examples of people.
Great.
Many people listening to this have probably heard of a guy named Dr. Ivan Meisner. He's the founder of BNI, Business Network International, the largest business networking organization in the world. And I am the creator and original producer and original co-host of the official BNI podcast that I cold called Ivan about and persuaded him to begin creating. And he emailed me last month and said that, Frank, our little project is now over 380 episodes and going strong. And so he's obviously different than most of us, but the same type of authority positioning works well for him.
Fantastic.
worked with a guy who was an expert in residential real estate, and he approached me about creating a radio show for him. And that radio show ran for 83 weekly episodes and was the number one weekend show of its kind on one of the top talk stations in the D.C. market mm-hmm. back in the day. We converted that into a podcast that ranked number one for real estate radio on Google. I'm working with a guy who's a dog trainer right now, a master dog trainer, and his first book will be published in January 2015. It will become a bestseller, and already working to position him for a weekly radio segment sponsored by a local pet retailer in his area where he will get all this exposure on the radio at no cost to him. It'll be paid for by the pet retailer. And he'll also be doing live presentations and appearances at the pet retailer's locations. I'm working with a guy I've done a lot of work for in the past and have not closed the deal with him yet, but this guy on the authority positioning, he's an expert DUI attorney and traffic law attorney, and if he pulls the trigger on the proposal I've sent him, we'll be publishing a book called What You Need to Know Before You're Pulled Over, and which will become a bestseller, and then we'll position him with a radio segment as well. And I just started working last week with a guy called The Gun Dude, who was actually present at Semperstar.
Yeah, I remember talking to him.
Oh, no kidding. Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he's having a grand opening on the 1st of January of his new retail location here in Falls Church, Virginia, and we're positioning him as an authority in that industry as well. So almost anything, medical field, mortgage, real estate, just about any field you can think of, these same strategies and tactics apply.
Fantastic. I love it. So let's just give, before, you know, I want to end with finding out how people can get in contact with you. But before we do that, I'd love to give folks that are listening one tangible thing that they could do. So as soon as they're done listening to this CD, whether they're driving right now or going for a walk or sitting at their desk, what's one thing that they can do right now when they get off of this call to make a difference in their authority positioning?
Great. The number one thing I think they can do is put their finger on what is the biggest pain point for their target market. What is the question they hear asked over and over? What is the problem they hear expressed time and again that they are able to solve for their target market? And then consider how they could take that problem and turn it into a short 3,000 to 5,000 word book on a Kindle platform book that's in the problem solution format, where they could then easily position themselves to be the person who has the answer how to solve that problem. What you'll find, many times people are afraid to give away the farm. Oh, I can't tell them all my secrets. I can't tell them all my best stuff. Of course you can. When you think about the movie trailers that you see, an ad for a movie, how many times have you gone to a movie and said, all the best jokes were in the ad? That's right. They give you all the best stuff, and you come and pay for a ticket anyway. The same thing works when you're writing a book that solves somebody's problem. Only a very small fraction of people will actually read the whole book and then put your solution to work. But the vast majority of people will see your book, see you as the authority who literally wrote the book on this topic, and want you to help them solve the problem for them rather than them trying to solve it themselves. And when people think, well, how can I write a book? I can never write a book. I get writer's block. The easy solution is have somebody ask you this question or a series of questions that you write out, and then you answer the questions. You can do it in a format like you and I are doing right now, Kim, where you can do it with just an iPhone out on the table and the voice note record feature on, and just go through the questions and the answers, take that recording, have it transcribed, edited, you got a book.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. So, Frank, if people want to get a hold of you, how could they find out more information about you and your company, Digital Media Positioning?
Well, you could find me at digitalmediapositioning.com. You can telephone me at 703-982-0984. You can email me, Frank, at digitalmediapositioning.com. Or if you'd like, I send out a weekly little, very short email I send out once a week that people seem to get a lot out of. But it's a kind of an exclusive list that I send it to. And so if you really want to be on it, you'll need to go to my website and go to the contact page and then fill out the form there and say in your message to me that you'd like to be added to the email list. I don't even have a formal, sign up here and get my newsletter thing. It's kind of an insider deal. So just for your folks, if they send me an email and tell me they heard me here, I will put them on the list.
Well, great. That is really generous of you and so generous of your time. I got so much out of today, and I hope everybody listening did as well. Thank you, Frank. Really appreciate having you on today.
Thank you so much, Kim, and I look forward to working with you again in the near future.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of you listening. Until next time, continue to keep up your ROI. Bye, everybody.